Good morning. Trying to play a couple of different roles here. Isn't it good to sing about our holy God? A lot of times we don't think or talk about holiness very much. And sometimes we try to put on our own holiness, don't we? We try to try to be holy. And if you're like me, you're going to fall short. But it's when you rest in God's holiness and allow his holiness to come upon you. That's what he's calling for, because we can never be holy enough. We need him. So there are so many things happening in this bulletin as I'm looking through it. And one of the things that I want to just highlight is, and it's not in here, we are looking for people who will say, you know, yes, I might have taught nursery and or been a nursery worker. Yes, I might have done Sunday school in times past. But maybe God is saying to you, here's a ministry opportunity. In our church, we have some ministry opportunities. And that is, we have a precious little baby. We have children coming in. We have just all sorts of ages and stages of people who are looking for people who might be able to help either teach a Sunday school class, substitute teaching, or helping out in the nursery, and just being a part of that, educating the young people and people in church. So pray about it. Don't just let it drop. Pray and say, Lord, is there something that I can do in this church? And I know that God wants you to be a part of building up the church body. You're here to worship, and just your being here is an encouragement to all of us. But maybe God is going to lay something else on your heart about being a part of that. So think about that. Walking club tomorrow morning. If the weather is nice, we walk at 9:30, and the pace is so gentle and easy that you are welcome to come and join us and share in that. We usually do some praying as well. So choir practice, obviously, if you want to be a part of choir, you are welcome. Come and talk to Dave. Just because you haven't been doesn't mean that you can't be. So that is open to anybody to consider here. That help house, the coats and the scarves and the gloves, if they're gently used, we're still accepting things here at the church. So you can bring those in all the way through the middle part of October. And I'm just kind of going through the bulletin here and just following and kind of highlighting things. Make sure you look, because there'll be some other things you might be interested in. So this coming Friday and Saturday, the men's retreat, and I don't think it's still not too late. You can show up, right, Bob? And are you looking for people to sign up or just show up? What do you want? So, pardon? You can just show up. So please show up, men. I believe it's going to be a good time. I'm hearing him and some of the things you guys have planned. I kind of would like to join you, but this is for men, so the men's retreat. Tuesday, October 3rd, if you've been a part of the Secret Sister Reveal, that is that the Secret Sister Reveal time this coming, or October 3rd, rather. And then Wednesday, October 4th, the Women's Bible Study is going to begin. And that one, it's just a five-week study by Beth Moore. If you want to be a part of that Bible study, please sign up. That's coming up really shortly, and I know Verna was requesting people to start to know who's going to be a part of that one. And then just real quickly look down there. Our crop and craft ministry that is here at the church that is just booming and allowing people to come into the church and feel like this church is open to them and being a part of what they do and being creative, they need volunteers. So look at that and see if there's some way that you can help out and talk with Heather Pullins or Kathy Harless. So hope I didn't forget anything. There's a song that I've been kind of meditating on, and it's a different song. It's not like the regular hymns, but it says, people come together, strange as neighbors, our blood is one, children of generations of every nation, of kingdom come. Don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high. Don't fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong, remember where our help comes from. That's something to celebrate, isn't it? God bless you guys. Yes?
We also have trunk or treat coming up.
Oh, we do, yes, trunk or treat. And I had that in here too. Trunk or treat, and I'm not sure if we're going to be having others join us, but there's a possibility. We don't know yet. I know there was a talk about some other churches joining us, but trunk or treat here. So again, sign up and maybe start getting those creative juices. Thank you, Kelly.
Good morning. I want to thank those who came and supported our missions conference a couple of weeks ago. I've heard from a number of people who enjoyed their time together with Pregnancy Decision Health Center and also Deaf Teen Quest. So if any of you have a desire to hear from a missions group, we can plan on asking them to come in the future. So just let someone who's on the mission team know if that's something that you're interested in, hearing from a certain group that's out there. And I'll also ask you to continue to pray for our missionaries around the world. They need your prayers, and they rely on those, specifically asking for your prayers for their health and their safety and just the courage that only God can give them during these difficult times. And also another thing that's coming up before long, Don and I were just talking about it this morning, it won't be long until we'll be collecting door shoeboxes. That's always right before Thanksgiving, a couple weeks before Thanksgiving. So we provide you with shoeboxes, and you just go out to, I always look for sales, so does Donna. And right now there's a lot of things where you can get things, scissors, crayons, all kinds of school supplies for 50 cents. And we bring them in and put our shoeboxes together and then send them out. Usually we have somewhere between 40 and 50 shoeboxes every year that we're able to give to children around the world who look so forward to receiving those and then also learning from about Christ from those shoeboxes as well. So if you have any questions or if you would want to ever join us, we meet on the second Wednesday of the month here at the church right after Prime Timers, and you're always welcome to join us as well. Thank you.
Working up in West Jeff during Prime Timers. I didn't know they were having Prime Timers dinner. And I guess I am a prime timer, being 48, 49, or just over 55. So I was coming down from Plain City, and I saw all the cars in the parking lot. I thought, well, what's going on? So I whipped in there having prime timer dinner. So I ate. I didn't participate, but I jumped right in the kitchen there, and that steak was really good. I had the opportunity to sing for a prime timers group yesterday, Saturday morning, at a church of mine that I've gone to over the years, and the pastor's a good friend of mine. And only now am I fitting in. I'm not the non-prime timer doing the concert, but boy, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be with God's people. You know, we need each other. And that's a concept that as you get older, I guess, there I am again, but as we get older, we need each other. We need each other when we're young. And just trying to instill that in the young people's minds that you need to be with God's people because we're not on our own, are we? We're lifted up. We're encouraged by the brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to put ourselves in that position. Let's stand and sing, shall we? I'll Fly Away. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. like a bird from prison bars is flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing, shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Sounds like a camp meeting. Wow. Let's read together, shall we? Oh, I had one more verse. Shall we sing it? Let's sing it. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Psalm 99:1, let's read together. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every nation, a love song born of a faithful choir. It's all God's people singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. He reigns. Let it rise above the four winds, caught up in the heavenly songs. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground.
Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to heed. Of all the bells from 1,000 steeples, none rings higher than this. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. And all the power darkness tremble at what they've just heard. 'Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. All God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns.
Father, this morning, you are in charge. We give our lives to you. You do reign, and you want to reign and rule in our lives. We pray that it is our prayer this morning. Guide us as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Did you have a good day yesterday?
Yes.
Squeak, squeak, squeak. Anyway, I was conflicted in that game because my daughter goes to Ohio State, loves Ohio State, and I don't go there. And so I was kind of rooting for sort of both in the end, but it's okay. They won because she was happy, so that was good. But it was probably the best game I think I've ever seen as far as evenly matched going back and forth. So anyway, but we're in the game of life, aren't we? We're in the game of trying to live every day for the Lord in a world that's trying to beat us and battle us and bruise us and shape us in the wrong direction, you know, with all the reports come out and all the things that are happening on TV. And you never hear any good news, do you? You never hear what's happening that's great, that's amazing, that's wonderful. You know, and we were on those different conflicts, you know, Desert Storm and things. My nephew was over there and he would talk about the good things they were doing, building schools and putting in wells, and we never heard any of that stuff. What we were doing was all the bad stuff, you know. So that as that stuff goes in your mind, you know, that's what you're kind of prone toward, is negative. You know, this is bad, this is terrible, but, you know, God reigns, like the song said, and we know what the end is. We know we win with Jesus in the end, and we're in a battle, aren't we? We're fighting for our lives and people's lives and their souls to try to be a good witness, a positive witness, to help them get to know who Jesus is, so that they're in heaven for eternity and not in hell for eternity. So that's what we want to do. Men's retreat, guys, I'll expect to see all of you there. No pressure, but we're going to have a fun time. There's going to be some games, some songs, some food, some teaching, you know, all kinds of things. Skeet shooting on Saturday, so don't be out at the golf course. If you are, you may be in the hospital from some buckshot or something, I don't know, but we're going to put a sign up. Hopefully you follow that warning and tell your friends don't go out there Saturday. But so we have a lot of good things planned. We haven't done a retreat before, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Davey Deals. Where's Davey Deals at? Where Davey? There he is. I call him Davey Deals, and you have to ask him why that is, but that's a little thing between us. But he's going to do a teaching, so we'll have some teaching there. And we're talking about how to become mighty men of God. So the first one, we're going to have three different ones, not very long, maybe 20 minutes of teaching, half an hour, whatever. But what are the hindrances to becoming a mighty man of God? And then mighty men of God in the Bible. And then how do we become mighty men of God? So those are the three things we're going to talk about. So not a real long retreat. You get to sleep in your own bed. So we'll be there from 6 to 9 on Friday night. We're having tacos the first night, in case you guys are food, you know, oriented or moved. And then the second day, we're going to be having subs and that kind of stuff. But we're going to be having games. Matt Schrum is in charge of our games, so I recruited him. So if it works out well, then give him all the credit. If it's bad, tell him, don't tell me. But it's going to be a good time, so. Brian, you having a problem? What? Matt Schrum. He's right there. See you, Matt? That's Matt. No. Nope. Remember to pray for Russ and Kathy. They're on a trip, traveling around. They went to hear the quartet. I think Pam and Sam are there, too, and Randy and Tina are traveling, and I don't know who all's traveling around, but those guys are out of town, so pray for them. And any praise or prayer requests you'd like to share? I didn't know if you're stretching, Dawn, or if you're raising your hand.
So I'm just grateful for my church family, for my biological family. Dave said something really important about surrounding ourselves around church family and Christians. And over the past 5 to 10 years, I'd say I've had a chance to get to know a lot of women in this church. But I've been praying for God to help me through 2 more years of teaching till I can retire. And I've been so blessed this year after praying and praying and praying, because I didn't know if I could make it. Those people who are teachers know that it's very stressful, more so nowadays, just as anybody else's job. I'm not taken away from anybody else's job. But like I said, I prayed and prayed, and God dropped the most amazing group of students in my room this year, and it's probably the best year I've had behavior-wise in 20, 25 years. So he answered that prayer, and he also has surrounded me around a lot of Christian people that I teach with. I've gotten to know them. Two or three ladies in my hallway. And then this year, I prayed for this. He dropped Katie Morrison, the pastor of the Church of the Nazarene in Grove City, his wife, in my classroom. I'm blessed to get to teach with her. She's the EL teacher in my classroom. So grateful for that. And then I was in the emergency room Wednesday night. I thought I might have meningitis. I'm well. There was no COVID, no influenza. My body was fighting some kind of infection, though. And another lady came in who was subbing for a friend of mine that I taught with at Norton years ago, and she could tell I was not feeling so well then, and she said, well, I'm going to pray with you. So there was someone else I was surrounded by that day who actually prayed with me as students were coming in the room. So it was nice of her to do that and not be afraid that she was going to get in trouble, and I'm not afraid. Thank you.
I didn't make you walk that far. So this is a kind of crazy prayer request, and it's not for me. We had a guest speaker at school this past week, or maybe two. And timeline is kind of off for me. But he came from Africa. And right now, they're facing a lot of hardships, especially children are having to fear whether or not they're able to come home. Witchcraft is becoming very popular in Africa, and child sacrifice is sadly becoming very popular. And if you could just pray for the children and that they're able to come home safely, and that the UN and Parliament in, I think it's Uganda, but don't quote me on that, are able to stop this along with this pastor, because it's a very small ministry. So hopefully they get resources they need.
A very good friend of mine named David Sanchez, he shared with me, well, a while back he had cancer. And again this week he shared it's getting worse. had a hard time even getting up out of bed. Got his son, got him to the hospital, and he got cared for there. He's home now, but pray for Dave Sanchez with cancer.
Pastor, I'd ask that the church prays for my daughter, Lauren, with what's going on in her life. And then also, I was a part of a cousin's wedding yesterday. And I would ask that we pray for newlyweds, that these two, Nathan and Caitlin, but pray for all newlyweds as they figure out their lives together and how that fits in with God's plan.
So I just have a praise. It's just a joy to be in God's house, to be among family, and to have that privilege. We take it for granted because we live in this country, but it's not like that everywhere. And God is so good. The song "I'll Fly Away," I love that song. If you know Jesus, you will fly away. But I also want to encourage everybody, don't think that eternal life is just when you leave this life. Because the moment you accept Christ into your heart and you are born again, your eternal life starts at that moment. So embrace it and look forward to the day that you get to see Jesus face to face.
Good morning, church. I don't know if y'all know all what Pastor Bob does for this church, for every single person in this church. It's out of the bag. Anyway, I just wanted to ask if you guys could show him a little appreciation. He has done so much, and I just seen the fabulous car that he just got for Miss Cindy, picked it out, and God knows she needed one. So if we could just thank Pastor Bob, because I don't know where we would be without him. He does everything for everybody, even if he is from that state up north.
Go Blue.
I'm so thankful to see Rollin and Julie. So glad that prayers are being answered. And just keep praying for them.
Hi. I have a praise and a prayer request. I have decided to start looking for another part-time job. And I'm a member of the West Jefferson Uncensored page on Facebook. And I didn't really want to travel to London or Galloway because I was going to try Kroger. And Circle K opened up in West Jefferson. So I talked to the manager or the lady that put the post on there. And she said part-time is available. So just pray that I get that job. Thank you. Good.
I just want to thank the Lord for the missionaries who were here last week. That was such a challenging service, and they were both so clear in their presentation, and just, you know, you could feel the heartbeat there that they, you know, and the passion that both ministries have, and what a need in both areas. And I got the opportunity to spend some time talking to the two that were representing the Deaf Quest ministry. And this is very close to my heart. And I said, hey, where were you when I was young? I wear two hearing aids, and high school and elementary school were just so difficult to navigate. So he was like, okay, do you know sign language? And I said, nope, don't know it. He said, learn it, come join us. And I was just like, okay. And it was interesting because I had just been challenged at work, because I'm a teacher as well, and I have to take continuing education classes, and they were talking about having a growth mindset. And I was like, oh no, you know how all these things fit together. But it is something that, you know, it's like, okay, I need to keep challenging my brain, so maybe this is my opportunity when I retire, whenever that happens.
I want to thank you all for your prayers for Steve, and I do thank the Lord for my church family, for the prayers that you always are just so willing to give for whatever reason. And I was thinking it's either Steve or me that has, we go back and forth, because it's only fair, right, that, you know, now it'll be my turn next, whenever. But he's doing good. He had an umbilical hernia, so they said he'd probably had it for quite a long time, and he just really didn't even know until a gastroenterologist saw him last year and pressed on his stomach, and then it was real bad. But he could wear a back brace and pull it all the way around and it wouldn't bother him. So that was kind of a mystery how that could happen. But I'm thankful again for our nurses and doctors and for the prayers and for our Lord that heals through them. And another request for Steve is, yesterday he had a little fall out in the garage, and I don't know, probably like all men, they try to do a little more than they should at the time that they shouldn't. But he was out there wandering around through the garage and fell. And I think he broke his toe next to his big toe. And he showed it to me last night, and it looked really bad. So I said, and it was a little crooked, and I said, Steve, I think you now broke your toe. So what can they do, you know? So just pray for Steve, but he's doing well with the surgery. And thank you for your prayers, and now pray for the toe.
Linda beat me to it, but I do heartily recommend Pastor Bob as a car consultant. Found a great car for me. I'm enjoying, it's nice to get in a car and just drive and not worry, like, what's going to come on, what's going to fall off, you know, whatever. And it also gives me the opportunity, a few of you may remember from Central Ohio Youth for Christ, we had speakers a few years ago from their automotive skills program where they teach young people how to work on cars and whatever. So I get to donate my old one to them. And I told them, if it's good enough to fix up and sell or use for transportation, fine. If it's only good enough to have somebody to practice on, I'm okay with that too. So, I mean, that makes me feel good. I get a new car, but I get a chance to help somebody else too. So, thank you very much.
I'd like to thank everybody for the kindness that they've showed at the passing of my wife, Mary, my sweetheart wife. And I just appreciate everything. So thank you all. And thank you, Pastor Bob, for the nice service that you gave down here.
I thank the Lord for my wife, all the stuff that she does that is behind the scenes. And I couldn't do what I do if she didn't do what she's doing, so. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this day for being with us. Be with those who are traveling, Lord, those who are not here, those who are in the midst of sickness and crisis. You've heard the request this morning, Lord, for jobs and for healing and for all kinds of things, and you've heard the praise for things that you've done and how you've worked in people's lives and directed and done things for comfort, for peace. Lord, we thank you for those things as well. We pray that we don't stop growing as Christians. We keep reaching for that mark, Lord, that you set. We keep striving until the end, and we praise you for that this morning. God, help us in this world that seems to be kind of falling apart and crazy and wild and corrupt. Help us, Lord, to stay true to you, to continue to look to the cross, what Christ did for us, and to be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice for you. So, Lord, be with us as we hear your word in song and your message this morning, and just be with those who need a special touch this morning in Christ's name. Amen.
Matthew 17, Jesus was meeting the disciples. They were not able to cast out a demon. And he came along and said, basically, why not? Why aren't you doing your job? And he said, because, Jesus told him, he said, because of your lack of faith. to move that mountain. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. God's not asking us to move and make miracles, but he says you need the faith. If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to the things in front of you and say, move, because I got God's work to do. Why would I worry when giants come calling my name? My God is so much bigger than troubles I face. Why would I hunger for power or riches or fame? Oh, 'cause my God is so much better than all of these things. I won't be shaken, I won't be moved. My God is faithful, his promise is true. So I speak to the mountains, oh, it's time. My God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than you. My enemies scatter, 'cause they know the battle is done. My God is stronger, the victory's already won. Oh, he died for my ransom and rose upon the third day. 'Cause my God is greater than death, hell, and the grave. I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful, his promise is true. So I speak to the mountains, oh, it's time to move. 'Cause my God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than you. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. There's no fear that I have he doesn't already know. There's no problem too big, there's no weapon too strong. There is nothing for God that's impossible. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. There's no fear that I have he doesn't already know. There's no problem too big, there's no weapon too strong. There is nothing for God that's impossible. I won't be shaken, no, I won't be moved. My God is faithful, his promise is true. So I speak to the mountains, oh, it's time to move. 'Cause my God is bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger,
better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater than you.
Thanks, Dave. I like hearing all the different parts that he sings during songs, from tenor to bass to whatever the other parts are. I don't know what they are. I'm not a music guy. I just play the radio. So, how many of you have ever made a promise? Nobody? One, two people, three. Okay, well. Most of us, right, made promises to somebody or something. Have you always been able to keep that promise? Never messed up once, huh? Never made a promise and couldn't keep it? A lot of times parents make promises to their kids, don't they? I promise I'll be there for that game. I promise I'll do that, and then it doesn't happen. It's not intentional, necessarily, to break your promise, but sometimes we can't keep our promises, can we? Because we're imperfect. Some of the message this morning is from a guy named Brian Bill in imom.com. I was reading some articles and took some of their information, so it's good encouragement for me to read the verse in the Bible that says there's nothing new under the sun. That means you don't need to make up new stuff every week. There's so much stuff out there that people have said that you can read and adapt and apply that there's no reason to reinvent it. Here's an illustration. It says, 1994, a 67-year-old carpenter named Russell Herman died in Marion, Illinois. In his last will and testament, he promised to do the following: to give $2.4 billion to a nearby town, to give $2.4 billion to the city of East St. Louis, to give $1.5 billion for projects in southeastern Illinois. And in a final act of unprecedented generosity, he left $6 trillion to the federal government to pay off the national debt. There's only one problem. At the time of his death, all he had was a 1983 Olds Tornado. So he didn't have any of that money at all. He had this. Made a big promise, didn't he? All these promises, but it didn't actually happen. What's the reminder? You can't give away what you don't have, right? You can't guarantee something if you don't have that to give. You can't give it. A lot of times people today try to give away something that's not theirs, don't they? Or take things that aren't theirs, or give us promises that aren't necessarily true. They don't have the resource. But not so with God. He's met all the promises that he gave, and he fulfills all the promises that he said. He makes good in his promises. But if you look around, we live in a broken world, don't we? Things are just messed up. They're not right. They're not, even from when I went to school, they're not the same. You didn't see a lot of fights and stabbings and shootings in the school. You were lucky if you saw three or four fights in your whole school time you went to school. And now it's an everyday occurrence, isn't it? We have metal detectors at the doors. We have police roaming the halls. We have kids carrying guns. We have all kinds of stuff happening. And then you wonder why these kids are stressed out. You know, what are the issues? They're just stressed out. That's part of the reason that we homeschooled our kids. So you can have an idea what they're being taught. And they can learn the truth. They can learn about God at school. They don't learn about that. You learn about everything else. But you don't learn about God and self-control and discipline and those kind of things at school. You learn how to cheat and you learn how to steal and you learn how to lie and you learn all these different things. Not in all cases, but that seems to be a prevalent thing for the kids. Disrespect, right? Try to get away with whatever you can. So you see it a lot. Lies and false promises and broken vows. And when we don't keep our promises, here are some things that happen when we break our promises. First thing is we disappoint people. They're disappointed. Because you didn't keep that promise. We can't be disappointment-free, but we can keep our promises, or else people will be disappointed in us and say that. They never keep their promise. They don't fulfill that promise. Second thing is we make them feel unimportant. You make a promise to somebody and you say, I'm gonna be at your soccer game, you know, I gotta work, but I'll take off early and get there, and you don't make it. They feel like work was more important than them in that case, or whatever it was is more important than that person.
You're just saying you're not very important to me. We make them disrespect us. We lose our integrity. We're not being true to our word. So we need to be real careful in the promises we make, right? You can say, I'll try to make it. But when you say, I promise I'll be there, I promise. That has a little more weight, doesn't it? That makes a lot more definite what you're saying is going to happen. And we teach people not to trust us. If they can't trust us in small things, how can they trust us in big things, right? The Bible talks about that, about responsibility. If you can't handle a smaller responsibility, how can you handle a bigger responsibility? How can you go to the next step? So if they can't trust us, how are they going to trust us with asking us questions and confiding in us and those kind of things as well? Well, there's an old truth in the saying. You've all heard that saying, you know, monkey see, monkey do. Right? People copy you. We need to know that our kids are watching us, people are watching us. And if we don't keep our promises, they may be prone to do the same thing. Well, you don't do that, so why should I? Right? When you tell your kids, don't do this, when you're doing the same thing. You ever done that? You're doing something, well, don't do what I do, just do what I say. But they're watching us all the time, aren't they? So make sure our promises are good. I heard it said that there are 31,000 verses in the entire Bible. I didn't count them all to make sure that was true, but if you want to count them, you can see. But in 1956, a guy named Everett Storms, a school teacher, during his 27th reading of the Bible, tallied up 8,800 promises, and it took him a year and a half to write those down. So I picked out some of the few that he said here that we have as Christians. Promise of eternal life, living forever in heaven with him. The promise of guidance, when you feel lost and confused and don't know what to do, you ask him for help. Promise of the Lord's return. The promise of rest. That's a big one, isn't it? Promise to rest, be able to just kind of rest and not worry and be concerned and be frustrated and all that stuff that happens all the time in this kind of pace. Travel to a different country sometime, you're going to see a different lifestyle than what we have here. Our lifestyle is just go, 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 go the whole time. And sometimes their lifestyle is just, you know, take it easy, it's okay. It's not a big deal. It's not a big rush. But we have some kind of hidden schedule all the time in our mind that we got to be doing this and we got to be doing that. We need to sometimes just sit down and do nothing, right? Or sit down and listen to a nice song or just pray or just go out in the woods and just listen to the birds and the animals out there, right? Just take some time to get away. We got too many things in our minds all the time. Promise of victory, that we win. In the end, we win. It's a whole different war if you know you win in the end, isn't it? It's a whole different battle. Promise of answered prayer, that we can talk to the Lord and he answers us. Promise of wisdom. Promise of peace. The promise of God's presence. And the promise of forgiveness. Knowing that God forgives me. How does that make you feel when you mess up and somebody says, I forgive you? As opposed to somebody you mess up and they hold that against you every time they see you. They say, yeah, you're the one who did that. Like, yeah, that was like 30 years ago. When are you going to stop, right? If they just say, I forgive you and let it go. A lot of times in the Old Testament, the word promise refers to speaking or speech or to say. So here's the deal. When God says something, that settles it. You ever hear your parents say that to you? I said it and that's it, right? He's saying, I said it and it's true. I said it and it's going to happen. I said it and it will be. That's a little bit different, isn't it? One pastor said, a promise is the assurance that God gives to his people so they can walk by faith while they wait for him to work. So we can walk by faith while waiting for God to work. We can keep moving, keep going along while we're waiting for him to work. The problem is sometimes God's timetable is not ours. We think this should have happened at this certain time, and he says, you're not ready for that yet, right? You think you can handle this, but you can't, right? When a kid turns 18, I'm an adult now. Yeah, in your mind you are, but in your maturity you're not there yet, right, for a lot of things. We got married in our 20s. She was 23, I was 25. We were still kids, and we thought we were adults by age, but we learned a lot of things since then. You know, my kids get married. One of them got married at, what, 21?
And I'm like, what is wrong with you? You're still a kid. You know, but then you see him get married. You see him mature over the years. You see him grow and change. But God's at work. George Parsons weighs in on the difference between a command and a promise. A command from God is something you should do. Promise from God is something God will do. So when he commands us something, tells us to do something, if it's a promise, something he's going to do. Command must be obeyed. A promise must be believed. When God gives you a command, he says, you will. When he gives you a promise, he says, I will. It's a different perspective, isn't it? When he promised something, I'll do it, according to him. Remember Adoniram Judson we talked about him last week? One of the guys I mentioned is a missionary to Burma. He said this, the future is as bright as God, as the promises of God. D.L. Moody said this, God never made a promise that was too good to be true. And here's a statement worth pondering. God never overpromises and he never underdelivers. You ever order anything online and looked amazing? And then you got it and you're like, what in the world is this? We were at a little manger scene one time. Looked amazing online. It was incredible. Ordered this thing and it was like paper. Like paper stuff. And I'm like, what is this? So I ended up getting back like $3 from them. They'll refund you. Not for the shipping, not for the handling. You can keep this piece of paper thing. We'll give you like $3 back. The promises, we get a lot of promises that are too good to be true, and sometimes we believe them, don't we? Oh, this is just so great. If I just give them this number, they're going to deposit this money in my account. Right? Sure they are. They're going to withdraw everything out of your account that you ever thought was in there, and maybe even more. One of the most popular promises we found in Hebrews 13, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. That's comforting, isn't it, when we read that? But we sometimes miss the first part. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have because God has said. You content with what you have? We're not in America. We're not taught to be content. We're taught to keep wanting more and more and more, right? If there's a box of cereal on sale at the store, we don't just buy one. We buy five, right? It's not always bad. If you need it. But if you're one-person household, why do you need five boxes of cereal? Right? If you're like we were and the Neelys are, that's gone in a week. Right? When your son has a bowl of cereal this big, twice a day, and you're like, what in the world? We had one of our kids that ate cereal like crazy. We gallons of milk. We should have had a cow because we use so much milk. But we shouldn't just be grasping for how much more we can get. If your car works fine and you're happy with it, you should be happy. Not thinking, oh, I need a Porsche now. But that's kind of the mindset of America, right? Land of the plentiful. You go to our grocery stores, we have everything. Every kind of cereal, every kind of syrup, every kind of seasoning, whatever you want is there. Meats, you go to a different country, you might have two choices. If you get that, it may not even be there. I told you before, we lived in Macedonia, we couldn't hardly find milk there. It was horrible tasting milk. It's probably the first year before we found any milk that was any good. It was called Zot. It was from Germany. It was in a box. It tasted like real milk. The other stuff was horrible. But we came back to the States, and we were in shock. We're like, look at the cereal aisle. I like, and it was just like, this doesn't end. We have so many things in America, and that's teaching our kids to just, I got to have this, I got to have this. I got to get paid when my parents are getting paid. I have to have a house, I have to have a car, I have to have all these things. And then when those things don't work out, then we're disappointed. Like I'm a failure. You're not a failure. We're just expecting sometimes too much. We need to be content. Because God wants us to live free from love of money and content with what we have. Doesn't mean you can't strive to be and do better, but you don't have to have excess and excess and excess. Why do I need six cars in my garage? I can only drive one, right? Maybe I have two or three. That's okay. Maybe I have a truck and I have a car and snowmobile, whatever. But if I have like six cars in my garage,
I don't know. I'm not going to debate on that. You can do your own thing on that. We need to accept that God's promises may not always be ones we like. He says we're going to face suffering, persecution. John 16:33, in the world you will have trouble. I don't like that statement. I don't like to have trouble. I don't like to be in arguments, discussions, and people yelling at me or whatever it is, or be sick or any of that kind of stuff. But then comes the second part. Take heart, I've overcome the world. Right? He's overcome the world. We can have courage in tribulation. Just like when things are happening and you're upset, and your parent or your brother or sister comes alongside and says, I'm here with you. It's okay, we're going to make it through this. God's there with us in those kind of things. But we can't demand God to do something, but we need to worship him. Psalm 119:38 says, fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. So when God fulfills his promises to us, others can see that we glorify him, that he's the one who did that. It's not about us, it's about him, and that he's faithful. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. We like that part of the verse, thinking we're going to get everything we need, but there's a condition. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. Is it easy to be humble sometimes? No, sometimes you want to say something or react and not just be quiet and just kind of let it go. We humble ourselves, then he'll lift us up. He raises us up. We don't. If we try to raise ourselves up, what happens? We get put down. If you go to Australia, that's called the tall poppy syndrome. You try to be the big shot up and like, who are you? You're nothing. You're nobody. But God will raise you up in this specific time. Charles Spurgeon once said, do not treat God's promises as if they were curiosities for a museum, but believe them and use them. Believe the promise and use the promise. I'll never leave you, forsake you, all the promises that we look at. It's an exercise of faith. Hebrews 4:2, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So Jesus did miracles, but sometimes things didn't happen because people didn't have the faith. Right? Dave talked about that this morning. We have to have faith and believe what God says. Don't be passive about God's promises. Charles Finney said this, the promises were made to be used by God's children and by all who believe them and appropriate them. We're supposed to use and believe the promises. Proverbs 13:4, the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. What's a sluggard? It's like a slug, right? It doesn't really do much. It just wants to lay around and get things from everybody else and not do any work and complain. And but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Those who go out and work and do things and help others and whatever, as much as they can do. Some people can't do much, right? But you can make a phone call. You can send a text. You can write a card. You can pray for somebody. That's work. That's working for the Lord. Things might not happen the way that we want sometimes. Hebrews 10 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So that's one verse you could keep in your Bible. You could put it on your mirror. You could put it on your refrigerator, right? That he's faithful. He's never going to not fulfill his promise. A guy named Herbert Lockyer said this, all God's promises concerning his own are dated in heaven. With our finite knowledge, we cannot read the time when many of them are to be fulfilled. God knows what's going to happen, doesn't he? He knows exactly when it's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen. He can say, this is the date, but we have no idea. We just need to trust that it's going to happen the right time, the right way. Promise is the assurance that God gives to his people so they can walk by faith while they wait for him to work. So in a world of promises, we know that God can be counted on. Here's some verses about his promises. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he not speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Deuteronomy 1. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he has promised. Psalm 119:50. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. Psalm 119:116. Sustain me according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Don't let my hope, let me have hope. Let me have something to hope for, because the world doesn't really have hope, do they? That's part of the issue. They're living in a hopeless state. We'll look at two sections in closing. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. His divine power has given to all of us things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Isn't it comforting to know that God's already given us everything? He's given it to us. We don't always take it. So what do we see in this section? We need to unleash God's power. And how do we do that? We read the word, we pray, because he's given us everything, and we trust that what he says is true. And then we utilize his promises. The word great is the root word megas, which means exceedingly outstanding. And the word precious means prized. It means a value that's suitable, that a suitable price is hard to estimate. So he gives us mega promises and precious, which means we can't estimate how much it is worth. If something's precious, you can't put a value on it. So his promises are to be prized and they're to be precious. John Bunyan, who spent some of his life in prison for his faith, wrote this: the pathway of life is strewn so thickly with the promises of God that it's impossible to take one step without treading upon one of them. We find what we're looking for, don't we? If you want to find the bad things, you'll find them. If you want to find the good things, you'll find them. But you have to look for them, right? And what's the benefit? We get a closer walk with the Lord, and we get farther from sin. In the last part, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. So the promises of God, if God promised it, it's a promise of yes, not a promise of no. Did somebody ever promise you a no? I promise you I'm not going to do that. I promise you I'll never be there. Not really a promise, more like a threat, isn't it, than a promise? But God's promises are always yes. They're never I don't know or maybe. They're always yes if he makes a promise. So the context here is some Christians were accusing Paul of breaking his promise because of his travel plans that they'd changed, and he wasn't able to come to Corinth. In Paul's day, some of the people were casting doubt on the message of Christ that he preached, so he wrote back to establish that he was not a promise breaker, and neither is God. Here's some of the statements we can learn from this passage. God's promises are many. They go from Revelation to Genesis. The promises are made by God himself, and therefore he's going to keep them. They reflect on God's character. They're established beyond all doubt. And the promises of God are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Here's the thing, you know, we come to church sometimes and we think that everybody that comes has accepted Christ. That may not be true. You may just been coming to church all your life because you come to church. But we need to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Help me to be the person you want me to be. Then we need to carry on and say, forgive me of my sins that I commit. When we know we commit those sins, we need to get rid of them because that hinders our relationship with Christ. And then we ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to help us live the life that we should live. So if that's you today, maybe you need to take some time and say, God, I need you to come into my life. I know I've been going to church for a long time, but I never really accepted you as my Savior. I just kind of show up. John 2:25, and this is what he promised us, eternal life. John 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord's not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's like my wife sometimes with, we used to have neighbor kids over all the time. And I'd be like, when are they going to leave? She's like, come on in, guys, have some snacks. What do you want to play? And I'm like, can't they go home now? It's true, I wouldn't lie to you. It's easier with your own kids, sometimes it's harder with the neighbor kids because you don't control them, you didn't raise them, they're not the same, but she has a heart for kids, ministry in all ages. That's why she does things like VBS and all that kind of stuff. She enjoys it, I enjoy that for a time, but I'm not the one to be with, like when the grandkids come over, she plays with them and you know, and all day long. I push the truck around a few times and like, where did grandpa go? Not to mean I don't love them, it just means that age is not my age where, you know, I want to be like, let's go out and build something, guys. Let's go out and do this. My son and I are now working together. I'm having him help me do some projects now. I'm shaping him to the next Mr. Fix-It, you know. He's going to be the next guy to be that guy. So he's doing projects with me. It's just really fun now because now I can teach him things and he learns those things. And now I know I'm developing that skill and then we can have talks and things like that. So it's really kind of a fun thing that we can do to build into the next generation of our kids. And they, all my kids have different skills and abilities. They're all in different things. He's the one who likes doing the fix-it stuff like I do. And I said, someday, Isaac, you'll be doing this stuff for your brothers. He goes, yeah, they're going to be paying me for it too. I'm sure he was joking, but it was just hilarious for him to say that. So we had a job yesterday at the post office. Some painting and changing the gutter and whatever. So I had gotten there, and they promised me, well, we made a contract, but I got there, and somebody already did part of the stuff. And I'm like, what is going on here? I was supposed to do that and this, and am I supposed to do it? Is somebody else doing this? So I guess somebody in, I don't remember where it is, Maine or Massachusetts or Missouri somewhere, usually calls me to do stuff. So I called her back, and I said, what's going on? I said, I was supposed to do this, and somebody else is doing it? She's like, well, shouldn't they check with the owner first? So I think somebody owns that post office. And so anyway, we end up doing part of the job. But, you know, when you make a contract, it's a promise, right? It's a vow, just like in your wedding vows. That's a contract. That's a promise. That's a vow. That's commitment. And now today, a lot of times, those are broken so easily, aren't they? It's just broken. It doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. You just walk out of that. My stepdad always says to me, because my mom, you know, she's in bedridden pretty much now. He says, for better or for worse. He said, I promised for better or for worse. He said, and that's what I'm going to do. That's good to make, isn't it? You make that commitment for life. You don't make it and just walk away. There are circumstances where you need to walk away, right? Abuse and some of those kind of things where you need to walk away or it's not healthy. But if it's a healthy marriage, you just need to stay there. You need to stay in that relationship. And if you make a commitment, then you need to stay that commitment. I'll just close with this. D.L. Moody once said, take the promises of God. Let a man feed for a month on the promises of God, and he will not talk about how poor he is. You hear people say, oh, my leanness, how lean I am. It's not their leanness, it is their laziness. If you'd only read from Genesis to Revelation and see all the promises of God, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to the Jews, the Gentiles, and to all his people everywhere, if you would spend a month feeding on the precious promises of God, you wouldn't be going about complaining how poor you are. If you'd lift up your head and proclaim the riches of his grace, because you couldn't help doing it. This makes me think of, remember that thing in school used to say, you are what you eat? If you eat junk food, that's how your body's going to feel. If you eat healthy, that's how you're going to be. They're talking about your mind and your thoughts and your vision, what you're taking in. That's what you're going to be. Take in things you should take in, the scripture, good wholesome things, good wholesome talk, actions. That's how you're going to be. That's the kind of Christian you're going to have, that kind of life. Stand on the promises of God, not the promises of the world. You'll be a lot happier and healthier, won't you? So let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for being with us. For looking at your word, that we can stand on your promises because they're true, they're faithful, and they're for our good. Those promises that encourage us, that build us up, that protect us, that help us, and those promises that talk about things that are going to happen in poor times and bad times and lean times, but you're going to be there with us, walking with us, and helping us make it through. So we just thank you for the promise of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and sing, shall we? His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Great. Have a good week.